Welcome to Women in the Middle Entrepreneurs, the podcast that gives you an unfiltered behind-the-scenes look at what it's really like being a woman in the middle who's over 50 and following her entrepreneurial dreams. Grab a superhero cape, girlfriend, because you deserve one. I'm your host, Master Certified Life Coach and Midlife Mentor, Susie Rosenstein, and I am excited to inspire you with interviews that feature all of this midlife amazingness. Let's go. Hey there, welcome back to the show. We have a really exciting interview ahead of us today, as always, all about providing help for small business owners in the form of forms and challenging yourself to finally do what you've always wanted to do in business and in life. Today, you'll be meeting Shahara Wright, a woman in the middle entrepreneur who's an experienced lawyer and helps small business owners like you save time, money, and effort when it comes to creating and managing legal documents. Welcome to the show, Shahara. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much, Susie, for having me. I'm excited. This is going
to be fun. I am too. I am so excited to talk to you. I could tell right away you have a really cool vibe. I know we're going to have a great conversation about your midlife entrepreneur story, and we're going to be talking about your business and what's going really well. Also, what midlife issues might be getting in your way to some extent and might be challenging for you in life as well as being a business owner yourself. So let's get started with talking about how old you are, how long you've been an entrepreneur, and some details about your journey and your actual business.
So I'm 50 and I've been in business for 23 years, going on 24. I've been practicing law for 25. I got licensed. I did some other stuff for a year and then I went into business just right after that. So that's there. I think I forgot what the other questions are. I'm sorry.
just about your entrepreneurial journey. Like right away, I've got a question for you. You went into your own business that soon after law school?
Yeah, I really felt like I didn't have a choice, which is because I couldn't find a job. So I tell this story all the time. It's like when I came out of law school, my dream was to go work for a corporation. And I thought seriously that I was going to be a corporate attorney and work, you know, with a big company and be in-house. And I applied to like 100 places, like everywhere. And like nobody would hire me. I could barely even get an interview. And so, you know, I had a young child and I needed to work. So, I was licensed. So I was like, well, I guess I'm going to do it myself. And that's kind of what happened.
I don't even know what to say. I have never heard that before with law. I don't know. Law seems like one of those things where it's kind of like you do this and then you do this and right away. So tell me what that was like for you to be that young and to be an entrepreneur. Like, I don't know. I became an entrepreneur the year I turned 50. And it's like, I felt like I was in uncharted territory. How, like you were kind of on your own, literally.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, I was young, so, you know, young and dumb. So you don't really know, right? That you're jumping into the deep water and can't swim, right? You really have
That's
no
true.
Idea. And so, I mean, it, to me, it's like, I just needed to earn money. Like my mindset was like, I need to earn money. I had my eldest son when I was in law school. So I was like, I need to earn money. Like I need to work. So to me, it was like not an option. And so I always thought probably for a good 15 years that I was going to end up getting picked up by a corporation or somebody was going to hire me or something like that. That was in my mind. So I really wasn't thinking about being a business owner. I never really even considered myself really one, even though I was working with businesses, right? I was working. That's the kind of work I was doing. But
what'd
I didn't
you think
really
you were
myself.
What'd you think you were doing?
I just really felt like, you know, I just was trying to live, right? Like that was just it. I'm just trying to live. So I really didn't put that much thought into it. You know, it's funny because when other people tell me, oh, you need to think about this. And as a business owner, you have to, I'm like, no, I just started because, you know, I had to. So that
wow.
was my
thought. You know, I'm not laughing at you, but your story is so
true.
You're totally an accidental entrepreneur.
Right. Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So
it was
I get that you were in lawyer mode, not
right.
I'm a business owner, entrepreneur mode.
Right. Yes. Yeah. I mean, it really was accidental. I mean, it was, you know, kind of like I didn't have a choice, right? Like, I felt like I was kind of forced into entrepreneurship. It wasn't really my dream to be an entrepreneur. So, and that was really my mindset for a very, very, very long time in terms of my business. And then you're talking about kind of that middle with where I got burnt out and I wanted to quit practicing altogether. And then for a good 5 years, I was doing this and doing that. And then I came back to law. And I think that's really kind of where my first thought process was, I need to look at this differently. I need to have my viewpoint differently and start thinking about my business and what that meant and where my place was in it and what I was trying to achieve, because I was so focused on what I didn't do when I was 25, you know.
Oh my gosh, exactly. So it was the break, the burnout, and then the break that gave you a fresh perspective, really.
Yeah,
when you were
definitely.
Ready. Oh, that's so good. And then you started to see it. Did you see it yet as an opportunity, that what you had done by accident and out of, you know, just having to earn a living really set you up for something kind of exciting?
Yeah, you know, at first I was like, you know, I don't want to practice anymore. I hate this. I had this like love-hate, you know, relationship with my business. It was like, I loved it because I could, you know, feed my family, right? But I hated it because I was like, not, you know, it was unsecure, you know what I mean? Like, I didn't really feel like I felt secure in it. So I just wanted out and I was like, I'm just going to do something else. I wrote a book, I started speaking, and, you know, then I wasn't making as much money as I was when I was practicing law. So I was like, I got to figure this thing out. And the person who's my coach now, we're friends. And I was like, listen, you need to help me. Like, you know what I'm saying? I need you to help me. And the thing he said to me, which he said he didn't even remember, but I remember, which is, he said, I can't help you until you change your mindset. And that was something that really stuck with me, because I really had to change my mind. And so really I had to, you know, kind of listening to some of these, you know, mindset books and, you know, speakers and things like that. And really what it came to is like, you know, which side of the fence are you going to be on? Are you going to be on the fence where you're going to accept that you're a business owner and that this is what you are and this is the way it is? Or are you going to still fight against that, right? And be angry because you didn't get your dream job and you didn't do this and you didn't do that. Where are you going to be? And so once I said, you know, to myself, right, I'm going to be a business owner. I'm going to be an entrepreneur. Like, once I felt like I had the power to make that choice, then my mindset changed, because before I felt like I never had a choice. It was forced upon me as opposed to me choosing to do it. That was my perception of it.
Wow. I get it. That is so interesting. Really interesting. It's one of those things where I can totally see how you're focusing on what you don't have instead of what you do have.
Right.
It was just too hard to. Yeah, it happens a lot with aging too, as we focus on what we can't do versus what we can do.
Exactly.
Okay, now when did you see where your niche was going to be? Like, this whole thing with forms and how you could help small business. How did you come to that insight?
So I was in that same conversation with my business coach. You know, we were just talking kind of like the next evolution and what I wanted. You know, I still practice, kind of went back to my day job, right? So to speak, and practiced and focused on working with small businesses and nonprofit organizations as general counsel. But what also was that, and one of the things that people always ask me, always ask me, is like, do you have forms? Do you have this? Do you have that? And I was like, no, I don't have forms. I draft custom contracts. I don't do forms. You know, forms are stupid, right? Like, that's kind of how my thought process was. I didn't think it made any sense. And so we talked about that, and it was like, you know, people come to you to draft contracts. Like, that's like a large part of my, you know, my business is people are asking me to draft contracts. So why do you not have forms? And so that's really kind of the process was, it's like, okay, it makes sense now. So now let me, all this experience I have, all these things I can have, I can put them in the forms. I can, you know, the stuff that I use for my clients, I can create templates around that. And so when I just started doing it and cranking out, like, a lot of the work that I had already done, like, you know, just forms and templates and kind of putting that in place, you know, I had a good amount of contracts that I could use. And I also realized, you know, compared to some of the other attorneys that have forms and other stuff like that, that I had a very big variety because of just my experience of doing this. And so that just made me say, okay, this is worth it, right, to do. And so that's how the forms got started. That was a really long story, but
no, I love it.
Really, here we go. Yeah,
you're basically the form queen.
Yeah,
I mean that's what I see. Yeah. But seriously, right. In terms of thinking about business and niches, it was very smart to think about where's demand,
right?
You know, because you had all this experience, but you know, you just had different glasses on. You weren't looking at another way to serve and a way that could be scaled. So I love that,
right.
Because again, accidentally you ended up with a beautiful niche.
Yes. I just fall into things. Right. Yeah. So it worked
but
out.
You don't just fall into them. You have to recognize what is there, you know, and then do something about it.
No, that's true.
Yeah. So don't sell yourself short on that one, but like, see, it's a very different skill to take that next step. Okay. So now you're the form queen and you are, you know, living as a midlife woman, and then stuff starts to happen. So how do you think midlife is popping up and causing some hiccups? How's it affecting you, these classic midlife issues?
You know, I don't know how to count it, if it's classic, and probably is, but maybe just haven't had enough conversations, right, to know what.
Oh,
it
I'll
is.
Tell you.
But, you know, it just comes to a point, especially as a woman, that you just kind of want to reevaluate who you are and where you're going and who you are as an individual, right? Separate and apart from the kids, separate and apart from the spouse. I got divorced and, you know, I told you I kind of wanted to get away from my practice, and I really needed to figure out who I was and who I wanted to be. And I felt like I had really lost that completely. Like, if you would have asked me, like, what's your favorite food? I was like, I don't know. What do you like? I don't know. Like, I really had no idea. And then trying to figure that out again, it was like, you know, looking in the mirror and like, who are you? Like, I had no idea. And so I think I spent a significant amount of my time, you know, in the last 5-6 years trying to figure out who is Shahara and asking myself, you know, what do you like? What do you want? You know, where do you want to go? What are your dreams? You know, what is all of that? And that's really, I think, has been my biggest struggle, but it's also been very rewarding to see who I am really.
And I love that the way you describe that is so accurate. A lot of, first of all, it is classic, and yeah. I hear it all the time. And the way women tend to talk about it is they feel blah, they feel confused, mm-hmm. they don't know what they want, they feel stuck, they feel stagnant.
Yeah.
And it's very surprising to overachieving, bright, successful people who haven't struggled with this kind of stuff in decades to all of a sudden just go, oh my God, I don't even know what I want. I don't know how to get there because I don't even know what it is. Like, it's just so foreign because we haven't been thinking about ourselves for decades.
Right.
In the way that you have to think about yourself to answer those questions. So I'm very curious, what was the first kind of thing that cracked that you could see something about what you wanted? Do you remember what that glimmer was?
Yeah. So when I decided I didn't want to practice anymore, I started reducing, right, my practice. I stopped litigating. I stopped doing this. I really wasn't practicing anymore. And I was speaking and I wrote a book and I was
what's
doing
the book
enjoying,
about?
It's called From Entrepreneur to CEO. And so it's just about business management and, you know, thinking more in a strategic mindset as a CEO, as opposed to just kind of doing things in the fly, like how I did most of this. So that was really what it was. And I was doing all those things, but I was broke. I lost a lot of money. I spent a lot of money, lost a lot of money, used some coaches. And it weren't that they were bad coaches. I don't want to couch it that they were bad. I just wasn't in a place where I could really do anything, right? Because I was still trying to figure out, you know, all these different things. I just wanted to get away as opposed to trying to really figure out what it was. So I realized, you know, I don't like being broke. I don't like having money. I know. It's like, yeah, this is not, I don't want this. You know, I don't like this.
I love that insight. It's a great insight to have.
Yes. Yeah. I was like, this is not for me. This is not what I want. I want to make money. And so when I went back, and started practicing, wasn't hard, you know, to get back and make the money. But then I realized for the, you know, kind of first portion of that, right, I was just had my head down trying to make money to survive. I really wasn't thinking about anything else. And now, you know, that whole conversation I have was, I really want more. I want to be able to travel. I want to be able to buy houses. I want to be able to, you know, put my kids through college. I want to be able to do this. And suddenly it wasn't just about surviving. It was really about, how do I create, you know, a business that will allow me to do those things? And that thought process was completely different from what I had before. And so every time I'm thinking about that, now I'm thinking, oh, well, I also want to do this. Oh, I also want to do that. I'm meeting other people and they're doing stuff. And I'm like, hey, I would want to do that. And so it's really that kind of snowball, so to speak, that really kind of said, okay, I don't like being broke. I want money. Okay. And I want to be able to do what I want to do. And so I want to do this. And I'm like, okay, well, I need a business that is going to allow me to do that. So then I need to change how I'm looking at it so that I can have the business that I want, that will allow me to do the things that I want to do.
Yeah. Bingo. Yeah. So you had to first understand that your whole self-concept had to change about your relationship with this profession, your business. Right. It's a combination of the profession, the law profession, and your business. And then you had to get clear on, you don't just want to be workaday. You want to grow something. And then you started to see, you wanted to travel. You wanted to buy homes. You wanted to pay for colleges. And yeah, that's very different when you start to see the business as an opportunity, right, as a blueprint, really. An empty right. blueprint to right. creating your dreams. It really is. Wow. So when you realized you wanted to travel, where did you want to travel?
So I wanted to go to Europe. So I had a chance, I think it was 2017, to go to London. That was the first time that I went to London. I had a friend there. We had a great time. I took my youngest son with me, spoke. And then I was supposed to go to Vancouver. And I was supposed to go to Vancouver. That was in 2019. My mom ended up breaking her foot. So I had to cancel that trip. And then COVID hit. And so I was supposed to go back to London and do Paris. And then, you know, I had all these little places, you know, got a really long like hit list of places, but Europe was like my number one. And so I realized, like, you know, in order for me to travel like I want to travel, I got to be able to do more. I wanted to spend like a summer in Mexico, and I wanted to, you know, just a bunch of different things, like longer trips, be able to travel more often. Cause I was like, okay, I'm 50 and I need, right. I only got so much time. So I need to be going quicker. Right. I can't do this like once every 5 years. I need to get on this. So that really was just like, okay, like I need to do more so that I can do that. So, you know, yeah, it was just really kind of had like a whole list of a bunch of places. Paris, which I still haven't been, you know, Italy, Greece, you know, all these places in Europe that I really wanted to go to.
I love that. So really clearing the way so that you could kind of think about it. It's very motivating once you get it becomes a little bit more tangible. It's like, yeah, I want to go there. And yeah, I can figure out, I can see now how I can kind of make that happen. That's so good. Yeah. And in your notes for the show, you noted that you want to push yourself to meet your own expectations, that you think of it as your personal challenge. Why do you think of it as a challenge?
You know, I feel like, you know, for, again, most of my life, I feel like I'm repeating myself, but it's just kind of like the thing, right? Like, I really just, I was being mediocre. And I don't mean that I wasn't doing anything, but in my mind, it was mediocre. Like I had so much more in me than I actually really achieved, you know, in my 20s and 30s, that I really felt like, you know, I could have done so much more. And so now to me, it's like, you've got to do the things that you have been saying for years that you wanted to do, and show yourself, right, that you have the skills, right? Because I was upset and angry and frustrated because I didn't get this job, right, and go into corporate and do this thing. Well, I still had the skill. I still, you know, am well known in my profession. I still do quite well. Other attorneys come and ask me to do stuff. I had to kind of see things differently. And so it's me now saying, okay, every day, Shahara, you're good, right? You can do this. You know, put yourself in different places. Don't be scared to, you know, step out, you know. And that's really, to me, even being able to say, man, you know, I did a great job, right? And being able to congratulate myself and be able to say, be proud of me, you know, for the work that I'm doing. So that's something that I work on every day. Yeah.
Yeah. You know what? You're smart to work on it because nobody else is taking care of us. Right. We have to take care of ourselves, right? Another thing that you said as a priority is obviously focusing on your business and happiness, but also your health. So what do you mean by that?
You know, I want to be able, you know, to travel. I want to be able to get around and be in my right mind and do some things. And so it's important, obviously, that I maintain my health. You know, I'm stressed. You know, I have an ADHD son and he's a teenager. So if you know how obnoxious, you know, teenagers are, then on top of that, you know, add the ADHD is just like a lot. I'm a single parent, you know, I'm running a business. It's a lot. So there's just days where I'm feeling it and I'm really trying to learn how to manage all of that, you know, and not have a heart attack, you know, and not have a stroke, not, you know, try to eat better, not still where I should be, but, you know, I'm trying to eat better, trying to do things better so that I can, you know, enjoy life after 50 and be able to do the things that I want to do. So that's important, I think, to ensure that if I want to be able to do these things, I need to be healthy. Right.
Yeah, exactly. So. And it's one of the things that that we definitely take for granted is mobility, you know, because I remember I took this trip, 6-day whitewater rafting trip in the Grand Canyon.
Wow.
It was really cool. But it was like camping in the sand with tents and cots and, you know, doing this pretty serious whitewater rafting. Anyway, there was a group of people. There were, I think, 17 or 8 of us or 18 of us and then 5 guides and 2 rafts. And 4 of the guests were well into their 70s.
Wow.
Right? So right away, you wouldn't think somebody in their 70s can do a trip like that. And I was a little surprised. And one of them had a recent knee replacement. There's different places in the raft that you feel the, you know, when you hit a rapid, and some of them are huge there, it's quite a lot. There's a lot of movement. Right. The raft is up. The raft is down. You're soaking wet. You're hanging on. You're
right.
It's really crazy. And there are some spots in the raft that you can sit where it's not quite as intense, but still it's in the middle. Like it's sand. It's camping. It's not a hotel room. It's not a proper bathroom. It's
right.
There's a lot going on. And I thought to myself, wow, I have to watch my stereotypes about aging. So that trip was maybe 15 years ago. But on the other hand, there are some things that are easier for us to do. I just got back from a trip in Baja, California, which is Mexico, whale watching, which is my passion, and getting in and out of these small 20-foot boats. I'm short. I'm under 5 foot. Okay. And, you know, I needed a little step stool. The fisherman, the captain guy would put a little step stool in the surf. And I had to step on it and then like whip my leg over the side because I'm so small. Right. And I'm like, wow, I want to do this trip again. But, you know, I might be 70 the next time I get back here. Am I going to be able to do this? I don't know.
Right.
So, I totally appreciate the health concerns. And it's not just weight. It's not just fitness. It's mobility, flexibility, like all the things.
Right.
Who knows what you're going to want to do and what is going to be the most comfortable for you to do it. That's good. I mean, I kind of made a long story out of that too, but I was just recently there just a few weeks ago and I was just thinking about what you said. Okay. So you've got some challenges, but you're very clear on your priorities, which is great. Mm-hmm. And now because you're so smart, you accidentally built a business. You're helping small business with something they need a lot and need a lot of help from. And I have to say that forms and legal stuff is overwhelming to small business. It really is.
Yeah.
And it's wonderful that you realized that was a way you could help.
Yeah, I know. A lot of people say that, especially with contracts. And I always get clients that'll come to me and they're like, oh, I just want this, you know, simple 1-pager or 2 pages. I don't want it to be this. And I'm like, yeah, I don't do 1-2-page contracts. That's not my, you know, my stick. You know, my contracts are pretty thorough. So I'm like, why are we talking about this? And it's like, well, I don't want people to be frightened or worried. And I was like, you know, really, it doesn't have to be scary, right? It really is just understanding what is in there. And if you understand what's in there, when you're explaining to your client, it's not scary, right? And even though it's a lot, and I mean, you know, we all been there, right? When if you're buying a house or you're signing a lease or whatever else, you know, these are 30, 40 page contracts. You're not even reading all of that stuff, right? Can't tell you what any of my insurance forms say, and I'm an attorney and I don't ever read them, right? So, I mean, you got these long forms that you don't understand, and there's just some concepts, right? You understand, you know, as a human that you're going to be signing long contracts that you may not read. So as a business owner, you can't be afraid of putting a contract in front of your client. The thing is that you got to understand what it is so that if a question is asked, you can answer it. And I think that's the most important thing, and to understand that they're a necessary part of business. I mean, you know, unfortunately, we're in a very litigious society and people will sue over any and everything. And sometimes, even if it's not a suit, you can't assume that people are going to remember what conversation they had with you. You and I could be saying, you know, okay, we agree to, you know, see your lovely plants out there. I'm going to buy a plant for $5. Then, you know, you give me the plant and I say, here's the $5. You're like, no, it was 10. And I'm like, no, I thought we said it was five. And, you know, I mean, and that just could be something very simple. So when you have contracts, it takes away a lot of that ambiguity, takes away a lot of the confusion, because you can simply go back to the document and refer to it. When they're well written, right? Well written contracts make the difference. So
good. Well, two things that have really come out in your interview today, the importance of getting to know yourself, because in the scope of your time in business, you really changed and you disconnected. So you really did have to figure out who you are. You also made it quite clear that it's okay to focus on yourself, and you may need to work on that because most of us aren't very comfortable with that. It can feel indulgent, or it can just to put ourselves on the agenda, let alone first every once in a while, is a stretch for so many of us. And then I know that one other thing you said here, and I wanted to, I wanted to really get you to talk a little bit more about this, is protecting your peace is the most important thing. So can you tell me a little bit more about what that means?
Yeah, I am so, that's kind of like my mantra these days. Sometimes people say I'm quite cold, but I can be cold, but I'm usually doing that because I
can't
really
see that.
Need
you really cold? I don't know. Who are you talking to?
I can be a little icy at times, right? But I do that because I don't really, it's a mental health thing. Like, I don't really want to be upset and frustrated and bothered by a whole bunch of stuff. I just want to be able, and I think, you know, as we get older, right, we all don't want all of this rigmarole and craziness and, you know, foolishness around us. It's like, no, I don't want that. So I, even as rebuilding my business, no more to the crazy clients. I'm not dealing with that, you know, no more to, you know, a bunch of nonsense that if you're not helping me, you know, then we don't need to be around here. You know, I've always kept a really close friend circle, so I've never really had that big of a problem. But even still with, you know, networking and meeting people, it's a lot of drama. I don't really want that. You know, I really just want to be able to just show up, be me, and go home, and it'd be that simple. So I really try to create, you know, for myself, the space where I'm not having, you know, a lot of that going on. My 14-year-old is more than enough to deal with all the drama. I don't need it elsewhere. So, you know, that to me is very, very important. And so I think about that in all the relationships that I have, you know, friendships and all that kind of stuff, to say, you know, hey, if there's going to be a whole bunch of drama, I don't want that, you know, networking, all that kind of stuff. Yeah.
So good, Shahara. How can people best get in touch with you?
I'm so glad you asked. So the best way, I think, is probably through LinkedIn, social media, which is, you can connect with me. My business page is The Right Lawyer. That's CHEWRIGHTLAWYER. You might come up, you might see two firms. One is in Dallas. I'm in Houston. So, Stafford. So, that's me. And also my personal page, Shahara Wright on LinkedIn. I also have a Instagram, which is The Real Right Lawyer. That's CHEREALWRIGHTLAWYER, and then Facebook, The Right Lawyer. So you can find me on any of those places. That's the best way.
Oh, so good. Well, I think you're amazing. We had a lot of laughs and covered some serious material. The accidental entrepreneur thing, whenever I hear that happening to anybody, it's just, I love the to get into the nitty gritty of realization, like how you started to realize what was happening. This isn't right. This is good. This isn't good. All of that. And I really appreciate how you shared. You were so authentic today. You were sharing that experience of being single again and being a single mom and being divorced and really focusing on prioritizing yourself while you grow your business and finally seeing what's possible as you grow your business. So good. I really, really love what you're doing as a small business owner. I know that the legal stuff has totally freaked me out too. So thank you so much. It's just so overwhelming and foreign, you know?
I get it. I get it.
It really is. So just thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Thank you for having me. It's been great.
All right. That is it for now. If you're listening and loving what you hear, please like and subscribe. Reviews are great too and much appreciated. And if you're a woman in the middle who's 50 or over and an entrepreneur, maybe an accidental entrepreneur, and would like to also come on the show, please go to www.midlifeinterviews.com and fill out an application. We would love to have you on to share your story. Thanks so much for listening. It's never too late for you to put yourself on your agenda. I'm Susie Rosenstein, and I'll talk to you again soon. Now, real quick before we say goodbye, if you are connecting with the show, I'd love to invite you to a happiness breakthrough coaching session. It's my laser-focused coaching call that will help you get clear about what's getting in your way as a woman in the middle entrepreneur and confident about your next steps to more happiness in your next chapter. Head over to www.nextchapterbreakthrough.com. Talk to you soon.